100 years ago this week, authorities of the Ottoman Empire rounded up hundreds of Armenian intellectuals and political leaders in Constantinople and executed them. 1.5 million would eventually die in what we know today as the Armenian Genocide. Some who were fortunate enough to survive fled to places like Fresno, which will observe the centennial with events throughout the week. In a few minutes, we'll learn more about the unveiling of a new memorial to the victims at Fresno State. But first, here to bring us more insight into the story and that of the people of the Armenian diaspora is Barlow Dermogradichian, coordinator of the Armenian Studies Program at Fresno State. Barlow, welcome.
Thank you, Joe.
Barlow, what exactly happened on April 24th, 1915?
That was the day that the Ottoman Turkish government arrested more than 250 Armenian intellectuals, leaders, members of parliament, and basically arrested them without any reason and then sent them out within a few months to their death. So this really marks the symbol for the commemoration of the Armenian Genocide.
Now, there was a large Armenian population in Turkey at the time, or are we talking – this was the Ottoman Empire at that point. Where did they come from?
Well, Armenians had historically lived in an area called Armenia, but in the 16th century, about 50% of Armenia fell to the Ottoman Turks. So prior to World War I and before the beginning of the genocide, there were approximately 2.2 million Armenians living in the Ottoman Empire, with a substantial number living in the Ottoman capital of Constantinople. And that's where the arrest took place as really a symbolic beginning, because then already the genocide was taking place, had already begun in other areas of the Ottoman Empire.
So why did this happen? What was the subtext in the history of that time that led to this terrific event?
There's been much research on the origins and the causes of the Armenian Genocide. So there's really not a simple answer, but I can try to give you several factors which I believe contributed to the Armenian Genocide. First and foremost, the leaders of the Ottoman Empire at that time were the Committee of Union and Progress. And they had an ideology which was called Pan-Turkism, which really called for a Turkey for the Turks only. So any other groups living within the Ottoman Empire, whether they be Christians, Armenians, Christian Armenians, or other people, either had to convert to Islam and to become more Turkified, or they should be leave the empire. And so I think the war offered an opportunity for that plan to eliminate the Armenians to take place. So one is this very racist sort of pan-Turkish ideology. Another dimension is economic, because all of the wealth of the Armenians, all of their property, all of their belongings, all of their businesses were simply expropriated when the Armenians were sent to their deaths.
And this was an especially brutal event as well.
Well, there were many dimensions to the genocide, but the primary means of eliminating the Armenian population through was forced deportation. So usually women and young children were forcibly deported from their homes and forced to march on very, very long treks, often for months, until they simply dropped from lack of food and lack of water, exposure to the elements, disease. So it's a very, very brutal way of dying.
What did the world say at the time? Was this widely acknowledged and recognized when it was happening?
Well, the word genocide does not exist in 1915. So that word begins in 1948. But pretty much the entire world recognized that there were atrocities and massacres taking place in the Ottoman Empire. And we can take the record of the United States and the United States Ambassador Henry Morgenthau, who was reporting on what was happening as it was happening. You could take a look at all of the U.S. newspapers, New York Times, reporting back on what was happening in Turkey. So it was no secret. It's just that nothing was done to stop it.
How long did it last?
Well, the first phase of the genocide really was the first year, from 1915 to 1916. But actually, events against Armenians continued until 1923. So we say that the scope of the genocide is 1915 to 1923.
We talk about the Armenian diaspora now in present day, as Armenians are throughout the world, especially here in the San Joaquin Valley. Was it the genocide that specifically led to Armenians settling here in the valley? And tell me a little more about how the population spread out.
Well, already in the 19th century, there were Armenians coming to the United States for a variety of reasons, some to get an education. Some already had a sort of a foreknowledge that things were getting worse in Turkey. And especially in the 19th century, in the 1890s, when the Armenian massacres of 1895-96 had taken place, many Armenians had already fled from Turkey before the genocide. So the beginnings of the Armenian community here in Fresno are in the 1880s. And so that population just continued to grow. And then especially after the genocide, many more Armenians came and established themselves here in the valley.
And maybe this your family's story. Does your family have its own genocide remembrances in that regard?
Well, both sides of my family, both my father's side and my mother's side, had experiences through the genocide. So on my father's side, they were natives of the area called Van. Van was one of the few areas within the Ottoman Empire that had put up resistance to the genocide. So many of the Armenians were able to, at one point, escape across into the Russian Empire, get protected. And from that there, they actually traveled, my grandparents traveled across Russia to Japan and then to San Francisco, coming to California in that way, which is quite a few less than the other way, which is to go across the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, and get to New York.
Was that a typical route?
It wasn't a typical route, but it was a route that some Armenians took. However, my grandmother on my mother's side, she was actually a survivor of the deportation marches. So she actually went through those marches along with her own mother and ended up in Aleppo and then finally in Beirut. And then my grandfather, who had already been in America before the genocide, was looking for a wife, and he just asked for somebody that was from the same village. And they sent some photographs, and he chose her to come to America.
Now, so much of the story of the genocide exists in the present day, specifically in the denial, the persistent denials by the Turkish government, including current Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan. Mark Arax had a great piece in The Bee this weekend where he said the denial of the genocide is in itself another genocide. How much does the lack of acknowledgement by the world, by Turkey specifically, shape the Armenian community today?
Without recognizing the Armenian genocide, it's really saying that the Armenian genocide didn't happen, and it's a way of rewriting history. And if the Armenians would not fight back against that, then eventually Turkish historians and the Turkish government view of things would predominate. So it has shaped the Armenian experience, the denial of Armenian genocide. And I think it is actually a dimension of genocide, because genocide is the elimination of a population. And so by also denying it, what you're doing is compounding it, because now you're just eliminating even the memories of those people that went through it.
What's the situation like in Turkey today for Armenians who are living there now?
There's a population of about 40 to 50,000 Armenians that remained after the Armenian genocide. And today there are actually a few thousand Armenians from the Republic of Armenia who are working there. But their lives are circumscribed by being Armenian. So they're still being, I think, treated not equally with other Turkish citizens. And I think that's also a consequence of the Armenian genocide.
How significant do you think the recent announcement by Pope Francis was that called on the international community to recognize the events of 1915 and the years after as a genocide? How significant do you think that will prove to be? Turkish Prime Minister since recalled their ambassador to the Vatican. Is this something that we might look back on years from now as something that was an important event?
The 100th anniversary is turning out to be a critical year in this whole question of the Armenian genocide and the denial and affirmation of the genocide. And so for Pope Francis to put into effect this statement, to make a statement about the Armenian genocide, I think is very critical, because it can be the tipping point for other countries to take their lead. He is the moral leader and the leader of the largest denomination of Christians in the world. His statements are heard, and it did make the news because of his position. A very, very brave position. But the Pope has nothing to really fear, I think. He's got to speak the truth. And so when he speaks like that, I think it's a good sign, and it potentially will lead to many other good events.
The U.S. government has something of a checkered history in terms of acknowledging officially this event. President Obama campaigned on the pledge that he would officially recognize the genocide. The House has a bill that has been circulating just about every year, and some years it passes and some years it doesn't. The administration, though, has avoided using the word genocide rather creatively. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the U.S. record on standing up on this issue?
Actually, early after the genocide, the American record was very clear, standing for affirmation of the genocide, because many of the American diplomats had been eyewitnesses to what was taking place. But over time, as Turkey became a closer ally to the United States, both as a ally in NATO and then economic and military reasons, it seems that the American government, but in particular the executive branch presidents, have been reticent to use the word genocide and to affirm the genocide, although many of them promised as candidates to do so, including President Obama and President Bush. So I don't hold much hope that it's going to change this year. And as you mentioned, many presidents use euphemisms. They don't like to use specifically the word genocide, but we'll use words like massacre or other words. But it is a genocide. And I think America, as one of the leading countries in the world and as a human rights advocate, they have to talk about it, because otherwise it will happen other places. And it's something that needs to be changed.
If in the future Turkey and Turkish leaders had a change of heart and actually did recognize what happened, what do you think the reaction would be? What would that change?
I think it would change a lot, because acknowledging then would open up doors of reconciliation. So there would be cultural avenues, other kinds of avenues, where Armenians then would feel much better about the situation, would want to visit Turkey, want to visit their historic lands. And I think it would just open up many doors. It's not the end, I don't think, but it is a very important beginning.
Do you think you'll see the day that happens in Turkey?
Yeah, I think it's changing. It's changing within society within Turkey. There are leaders, intellectual leaders, political leaders. I don't think that it will never happen, and I think I will see it, or at least it will be happening in the next 5 to 10 years.
Talking about the history of the Armenian Genocide today with Fresno State Armenian Studies Professor Barlow Dermagradichian. Barlow, thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
And part of the ceremonies commemorating the 100th anniversary of the genocide involve an event taking place on April 23rd, the unveiling of the Fresno State Armenian Genocide Monument at the Maple Mall. Joining us now in the studio, we have Berj Apkarian. He is the chair of the Monument Committee and the honorary consul for the Republic of Armenia based in Fresno. Berj, welcome.
Good morning, Joe.
Tell me about the monument that you'll be unveiling later this week.
The monument itself has three main purposes. One is to commemorate and honor our martyrs. Second, become a point of education. As you may know, there are over 23,000 students pass through the campus, so this monument will become a point of education, understanding the Armenian history and what transpired. The third, inspiring the younger generation to not only understand what genocide is, but also learn about the Armenian history. And the genocide, it's unacceptable, not only for Armenians, but for the entire man's inhumanity to man is unacceptable. And this monument doesn't only focus on the Armenian genocide itself. It focuses on it, but it expands furthermore, recognizing all other genocides and saying, we do not accept that as a part of human sad chapter of the history, that we continue to not stand up for it and take a firm position.
For several years, for several decades, students at Fresno State have gathered to do a temporary memorial every year in the campus free speech area. Now this permanent memorial is being built. Is there a significance behind the design itself?
Yes. The monument itself consists of 9 pillars. Those pillars represent historic regions. It starts from 19 feet high and descending downward to 15 feet high, 1915, the year of the genocide. On the top, there is a halo that is not connected totally. There is a break on that halo, and that, again, has a significance in terms of the jolt, the break during 1915, where the sad chapter occurred in the Armenian history. On the bottom portion of the monument, there is a history timeline starts from beginning of Armenia and all the way from the genocide to creation of the First Republic all the way to the Second Republic. So it's a center of education. It's not a memorial. It's a monument to honor, but yet to educate and inspire. It is everything that you see in that monument. It has a symbolic reason and purpose for it. And I want to mention this, we are very fortunate not only to bring soil from historic Armenia and mixed it with local soil, and was blessed during the groundbreaking. And that soil now is placed underneath of the monument. And also in addition, we brought the brownish-pinkish stone from Armenia, and it's being placed on the bottom portion of the monument. Again, connecting motherland with the central San Joaquin Valley and connecting the historical perspective. So it is a sign of pride, sign of inspiration, and we look forward for the unveiling on Thursday night.
Now, there are dozens of events that are taking place this month and really throughout the whole year, recognizing this somber centennial. But there's another one coming up in downtown that is significant in the fact of the traditional Armenian neighborhood in downtown and near the Holy Trinity Armenian Apostolic Church. A street is being renamed. Tell us about that.
Yes, thank you very much. And my personal gratitude to Mayor Ashley and her staff for their leadership and for their support. We approach them and presented the idea as far as taking the old Armenia town region just south of Ventura, the street of Santa Clara, from O Street all the way to Van Ness, and to rename it on this important occasion as Armenia Street. We are very excited that that will take place. Thursday afternoon at 3:30, the mayor, consul general of Republic of Armenia from Southern California, His Excellency Mr. Sergei Sarkisov, his staff, the consul, Mr. Minassian, and others, all dignitaries, foreign dignitaries as well, Mexican consul and Italian vice consul, all will be there alongside with the Armenian leaders and the religious leaders to unveil the street name. And I am very excited to witness that moment in time as well.
Again, we've been talking with Berge Apkarian. He is the chair of the Monument Committee for the Fresno Armenian Genocide Monument at Fresno State. The unveiling of that monument is at 7:30 on Thursday at the Maple Mall at Fresno State, and also then the renaming of Santa Clara Street in downtown Fresno taking place earlier that afternoon at 3:30. Berge Apkarian, honorary consul for the Republic of Armenia, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.